We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight and talk about some things I think that are going to be very, hopefully very helpful and encouraging to you. I know they have been encouraging to me and also instructive. Turn here, if you haven't already, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's begin reading with verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 21. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Our text actually begins here in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This passage of Scripture is a great encouragement to me because I am one of those kind of people, and you may be similar, that I often trouble myself about not doing the work of the ministry the way or to the same degree as others I admire who are in the Lord's work. We're privileged here to have a lot of friends in the ministry that are missionaries, a lot of friends in the ministry that are pastors in churches. And there's some of my friends that I look and I'm just like, wow, it's amazing how God is using that person in the ministry. And when I see that, sometimes I get down on myself because I'm like, I'm not to what I perceive to be that level. Particularly, I get concerned about more personal work, leading more souls to Christ or witnessing to more folks and being a bolder witness. And when I read this passage of Scripture, it really helps me. And I hope tonight when we preach it that what you see in this passage of Scripture will help you as well. Notice some things that are here. Notice, first of all, there is diversity in the body of Christ. Verses 4 through 6. Pay careful attention. Now there are diversities. That means they're not the same. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences. That means they're not the same. Of administrations, but the same Lord. Evidently a reference to Jesus Christ. And there are diversities of operations. That means they're not the same. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Do you understand? you just saw the Spirit, the Lord, and God in those three verses. These three are one. And though they are one, and though they are the same, we keep hearing about the same Spirit, when it comes to the body of Christ, their work in us manifests itself in different ways. Diversities of gifts, differences of administrations, diversities of operations. There is diversity in the body of Christ, and that diversity by one God is intentional. God intends for us to be able to do different things because we are a body, and as you've seen in the text that we read here, hands and feet don't do the same thing. They don't even look alike. They're not even in the same place on the body. Ears and eyes do different things. The head and the feet do different things. And that's why it's a body, because it's not just one member. Otherwise, it'd be a great big eye or a great big head. Well, you probably know some people like that. But all right, this diversity that's in the body of Christ is not the result of us being different people with distinct personalities. It's not the result of us being different people with various strengths and weaknesses or talents. We certainly do have different personalities. We certainly do have different strengths and weaknesses. We certainly do have different talents. But when it comes to the body of Christ and the diversity in the body of Christ, that's not a matter of personality or strength and weakness or talent. Those are intentional differences provided by God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God. It's the work of the Spirit who gives us diverse gifts, and the work of the Lord that gives us different administrations, and the work of God that gives us different diversities of operations. We're just going to handle things differently in the body because as a corporate unit, there are a lot of needs with a lot of different people involved. So a person, for instance, who is outstanding in administration will likely be very unimpressive when you examine him or examine her for a spiritual gift. Because administration is like, right? To a person with a gift of something like healing would be a pretty dull operation. But you take a body like this in a church like this, you got to have somebody that understands how to pay attention to administration. There are many things that have to be done. And you want the person that God has gifted or the person who God has placed with the ability to administer in that position of administration. Likewise, somebody with a spiritual gift like prophecy, they're likely going to be very weak when it comes to operations and administrations. You probably know some people that they're really great preachers, but they can't keep their notes organized, for instance. You know, that's just, a lot of that has to do with being people who are given different gifts and different jobs by the Holy Spirit. And this is how the Holy Spirit works among people. He never intended for us to be the same. Let that minister to you a little bit. Let that comfort you a little bit. You're like, if you're like a lot of people, you look around and you're thinking, man, I wish I could do what he does. Or man, I wish I could do what she does. Or I wish I had that ability. If God didn't give it to you, you'll never be able to do it. And he didn't intend for you to do it. Or to be upset with yourself because you can't. That's his business. There is diversity in the body of Christ, intentionally, spiritually. The second thing that we notice here is that the Spirit divides to every man, that would be person, it's not gender specific. The Spirit divides to every man severally as he will. Look at verse 11. All these worketh that one and the same self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. So a several is, you know, we say, oh, there were several people there. But that word several is rooted in a word sever. So several is made up of individuals. Severally as he will, you and you and you and I and you. And so when he has listed these gifts, he's talking about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, another faith, gifts of healing, blah, 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 blah. He goes down all these and he says, the Holy Spirit's the one that says, I want you to interpret, but I want you to speak in tongues, and I want you to heal, and I want you to preach, and I want you to have the word of wisdom, and I want you to have the word of knowledge. So if a person with the word of knowledge looks at a person with the word of wisdom, it's like, I wish I had that because it's mentioned first. You got to remember, the Lord did this. The Spirit of God divides to every man severally, severing it. You get something, you get something. Listen, as he will, not as we will. So it's foolish for a person to think that he should be strong in all aspects of the ministry. Because there's a body here. He won't be strong in all aspects of the ministry because the Holy Spirit has only given him or her as much as he wants that person to have. Only so much. You teach well, you don't clean well. You say, I should be able to. Not if it's an administrative or an operational function and you are to exercise a gift of teaching in order to fulfill your part in the ministry. Because it's a body, the Lord gives you what he wants you to have, that he wants you to do well, and he's given to others in the congregation the gifts they need to work with that person in the ministry. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, look, as it hath pleased him. Well, you know, you got to understand, as a pastor and a church planting, and there are three couples with you and your wife in a bunkhouse, okay, 24 years ago nearly. And you're thinking this is going to grow, and there are going to be souls that need to be saved and discipling that needs to be done and people to be able to teach Sunday school classes that have to be trained and taught and so forth. And at that stage, you feel all of the weight of that ministry on your own shoulders. And I, a pastor, senses that he has to be better at that to be able to demonstrate to you how to do that. May I tell you something? If the pastor has to be better than everybody else in the congregation at everything else that's done in the ministry, that's going to be a very weak ministry. Pastor has to be able to recognize, I can only do what God has given me to do, and he's going to raise up other people who are going to do what they do, and frankly, they are going to do it better than I do, and I got to be comfortable with that. It's a reality of the ministry. You know something? A pastor's weaknesses can be annoying to people who think he should be perfect in every aspect of the ministry. You know, you see it, and you see the pastor, and you like that, and you go home, and you're like, I'll tell you what, that guy, man, you know, he is so weak in this area. And you know what that is? That's an unreasonable expectation. I'm not feeling that from you, but I put that on myself. And I can remember when I pastored the first church there in Beeville, there was an expectation that I should be able to do certain things that I don't do well, not only very well, but exceptionally and so that nobody else in the congregation had to do it. And I used to hear about that. Well, that gave you a complex after a while, until you realize, according to this passage of Scripture, God never intended it that way. He never intended it that way, because it's a body. The hand and the eye do different things, and the hand does a lot of things, and it does all that it's supposed to do. But it cannot do what the eye does, and if the rest of the body expects the hand should be able to do what the eye does, the body's always going to be disappointed. I'll tell you, it's often a cause of frustration and contention between church members and pastors. Again, thankfully, that's not the case here. But I know of a situation that happened not too long ago, and part of the problem was, it was the anticipation of the congregation that the pastor should be able to do more than what he was doing. But the truth and reality of the matter is, if he wasn't given it to do, he can't. Can't do it well. You know, it's also a cause of frustration for pastors who think that they should be able to cover all the needs of the ministry by themselves. I've had to lecture myself about this a number of times. Anything you can do, I can do better. Yes. You drive yourself nuts with that. And so it's important for us to recognize, number one, there is diversity in the body of Christ, and that diversity is intentional. It is by design. It's spiritual. And God Almighty in all three persons is totally behind the operation. And the second thing is, the Spirit divides to every man severally as He will. You know, you get something I don't get, and I get something you don't get. And there is a mutual understanding in the body that it's supposed to be that way. The Spirit of God did that. All right, something else that we notice in the text, and that's this. Look at verses 15 and 16. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, I'm not the eye, is it not of the body? I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? What's the answer to those two questions? No, the answer is of course not. It is a member of the body. It's just a different member. But apparently in this, the foot looks up to the hand and says, man, I'm down here in the dirt walking around in all this muck and you're up there, you know. Yeah, but you're never asked to pick his nose, I'm telling you. The ear looks at the eye and goes, wow, I'm not that, and gets a complex. I mustn't be of the body if I can't do what the eye does. Well, that's preposterous. But let me tell you, from what you see here, these differences that we have spiritually can cause some of us to undervalue our work and to overvalue the work of another. That's a long point. Let me say it again. These differences can cause some of us to undervalue our work and to overvalue the work of another. I mean, in these verses, the foot undervalues his role in the body when compared to the role of the hand. You know, if the right foot would only compare itself to the left foot, it might not get a complex. But once it looks up there and sees the hand, it's kind of like, wow, I can't do all that. And likewise, the ear undervalues his function in the body when compared to the importance of the eye. You come up to a train track and you don't see the train, but you hear the whistle, you'll be thankful you have an ear. Right? So likewise, someone working in administration may feel like their role in the ministry is less important than what a person who prophesies does. Man, if I could just preach, then I would feel like I was really a part of this body. But just sitting here and doing what I do, well, that doesn't feel like much. You understand it's a feeling. It's a complex. It's a perception. You know, they may even envy a person in administration or in operation, may actually envy a person for the work he does when compared to their view of the work they do, because they say that's more important. I like what Jim Benny said when he was here years ago about Acts chapter 6, when the apostles recognized there was a problem in the feeding of the window, in the windows, feeding the window. Whatever, the widows. You know, they said, look, we are going to give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. You guys see to the business of feeding the widows. Make sure everybody gets a good distribution. Well, those men had to be of good report, and they had to be filled with the Spirit of God. And the point that he made was this. They weren't saying our job to pray and minister the Word of God is more important than your job. It's just that we cannot give up the work we're doing in our job to take care of that job. So you do that job so we can do this job. That's diversity. That's difference of operation and administration. And it takes spiritual gifts filled with the Holy Ghost and of good report to be able to do that work. You can imagine why they had to have a good report. I mean, imagine if one of those guys didn't have a good report and one of the widows was, we're getting food, but they always get more. You got to have a good report so that people would say, no, he's not that kind of person. We know he's a man of integrity. He'd never do a thing like that. Yeah, I recently, and this is a very interesting thing I heard. I recently heard of a doctor who witnesses to every patient before he performs surgery. The nature of their surgery is very intense. It's very difficult. The outcome sometimes is even uncertain. This doctor is saved. He's very concerned for their souls. He asks for permission to pray and talks to them about Jesus Christ, salvation, and eternity. Wow, what a doctor. He was talking to a preacher one time, and he says, I sure wish I could do what you do. I sure wish I could do what you do. Thankfully, the preacher had wisdom and encouraged the doctor by assuring him that his effectiveness as a witness with his patients was greater than it would be if he had become a preacher. He sees them in a time and in a way that a preacher would never be able to reach them. I remember when I mentioned to Dr. Upman that I was called to preach and I was going to go to school. He was disappointed. And the reason was, we need saved bankers. You see people at a time. I can remember when I was in banking, I had Scofield Bibles in my credenza and Chick Tracts in my drawer and led a number of my customers to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that to draw attention to myself. I'm saying that opportunity afforded itself in a way in my office that preachers just don't get in their office. You say, how do you know that? I've been both. I've been both the preacher and the banker. So I understand now, with a lot more appreciation, the disappointment that he expressed. Well, listen, the Holy Spirit has gifted the preacher, and the Holy Spirit has gifted the doctor and has positioned that doctor to be a very faithful witness as a doctor rather than a preacher. God did that in the body for the ministry. But we have a tendency to be like that. Man, if I were like you, boy, if I could just teach like you, if I could just preach like you. They never say, if I looked like you. And they don't even say that to me personally. I'm just saying that's how we are. We look to somebody else that we admire who we think does it better than we do, and we're thinking, I wish I could do it like that. If the Holy Spirit hasn't given it to you to do like that, you never will. You'll live perpetually frustrated, and you don't want to live like that. The differences can cause some to undervalue their work and to overvalue the work of another. But notice something else here in verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. You know, where would eye-hand coordination be if that were true? The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Well, what's the point here? Likewise, as it's true that the differences can cause some to undervalue their work and overvalue the work of another, likewise, these differences can cause some to look down on others and or to work independently. I'm the head. I really don't need your help. Again, this can be a real problem in the ministry when it leads to a lack of delegation, of including other people, of recognizing there are other people who can and should be doing something, but are denied the opportunity because you're not ahead. There has to be an understanding for this eye to function to its full capacity, there have to be hands. And for this head to function to its full capacity, there have to be feet. They have to be. And they should not work independently, but interdependently. And one should not look down upon the other, although the head, positionally in the body, looks down on everything else beneath it. But everything else beneath it is doing something that, right, stems from the work of the head and supports the head and so forth. You know, God did not design the body as independent things. You don't pop your hand off at night and leave it on the bedstand, let it rest, and put it up back on in the daytime. It's there. He designed your body to be an interdependent unit, and the body of Christ is to function as an interdependent unit. Now, there's a real temptation, and Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You can keep your place where you are. It would be good for you to see this verse of Scripture in the context. The statement is applied to some other people who were commending themselves as compared to Paul. But the statement that Paul made also is a great reflection to how we look at each other in the body sometimes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Paul said, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. So he's saying, you know, preacher to preacher, I'm not going to compare myself with that person. But look what he says next. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are what? They're not wise. So for me to look at Brother Tony and say, I don't preach with that level of enthusiasm and that level of animation and that level of introduction. Yeah. You know, man, I wish I could do that and preach with it and yell like that and be able to make that kind of impression. But if I yelled like that, I wouldn't have a voice when I got to the end of the message. Well, it would be crazy for me to compare myself to that or he to me. God gifted us in different ways to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. It would be unwise to compare, right, yourself with somebody else. What you want to do is be able to compare yourself with what the Holy Spirit wants you to do and be sure that you're fulfilling that operation, that administration, that spiritual gift. You know, while one member should not feel inferior because he's not able to do what the other member does. Neither should he feel superior because he's able to do something that other members can't do. But we're people, right? We're built to sort of, yeah. And so you sometimes get the idea, I have something, and if I could just be given an opportunity, I'd be able to show everybody else how to do what I do, and then they'd be able to do better what they're doing than what they're doing now. Well, that's the work of the Spirit of God. You know, the thought of inferiority or the thought of superiority, you know what that is? That's the manifestation of the flesh. That's not the manifestation of the Spirit. Look with me at verse 7 in our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the manifestation of the Spirit would not be to think of ourselves as somebody because of, you know, what do you have that you didn't receive, the Bible says, right? So we don't get into a situation where I do what you know, better than what you do, or you do better than what I do. That's not the case. That's what men do when they're comparing themselves among, that's when they're competitive. That's a flesh thing. When it comes to the Spirit, there's not competition. When it comes to the body, the hand is not competing with the feet. The hand is working with the feet. If it's a race, the hands are pumping out in front, not crossing the body to get more momentum going forward and to try to win that race. They're working together to accomplish the task. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do when we work together as a body here, to recognize there are differences. But if we coordinate properly, you do what you do, I do what I do, and this whole thing's going to work better than if we're trying to find some way to compare ourselves among ourselves. There should be no complex about that. I love the passage of Scripture. It's very encouraging. It's very instructive. But let me say this. You have to get comfortable in your own skin. You have to be comfortable with who God made you to be and how He's using you right now. You got to be comfortable with that. You got to be able to look in the mirror and prayerfully consider that you're filled with the Spirit of God doing His will, but look in there and say, you know what, I'm thankful to be what I am. I'm thankful to be used in this ministry to accomplish what I have. I'm not going to concern myself with somebody else. I'm not going to envy. I'm not going to feel inferior or superior. I'm just going to go along with what you've given to me, and I've got to be comfortable in my own skin, with your own gift, with your own administration, with your own operation. It's a good thing. God put you here. You know, you shouldn't frustrate yourself by thinking that there's something wrong with you because God is using you differently than He's using someone else that you look up to. You should be happy that He's using them that way. It's one of the greatest compliments, I think, in the ministry to be able to pastor and see God make plain what He's doing and actually have the people come out better than you. That's like, wow, look what God's doing over there. That's a good thing. Well, let me give you a little bit of a personal illustration here. And let you know that even in my life, as I said at the introduction of this message, you know, it's easy to struggle with these things. When it comes to, and I'll call it because you're familiar with the phrase, when it comes to soul winning, and again, I'll add the caveat, you're not a soul winner. I know the expression is in the Bible. You are a person who is a good testimony and a faithful witness, but when a person gets saved, God did that. So you could be called a soul winner biblically because you were there when a person got saved, but that's not you, and we all know that. But when it comes to soul winning, for instance, I had to get comfortable with the fact that I'm a sniper. What does a sniper do? A sniper sits in a tree or some place of concealment and waits for the right shot at the right time. That involves a lot of a lot of waiting, a lot of positioning, a lot of sometimes going to set up the shot. The shot doesn't present itself. You go back, you clean everything up, you wait for another day, you go back out, you wait for the right shot, you come back. You know what? I'm very comfortable with that. I finally realized after many years, I'm a sniper. Even if it takes you 20 years, I'll shoot you. No. And I say that because there are many times, if I look back over the years where I've been with somebody who prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, after many times of witnessing, I've just realized that, you know, a lot of the people that were there that got saved are people that took a long time until that day when they were ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and they got saved. All right, an infantryman, by contrast, engages a soul immediately and goes right into hand-to-hand combat. Yeah, you better get saved. And I'm like, boy, I wish I could do that. And I used to get upset with myself because I wasn't able to get in there and go, as we said when we were kids, kitty combate with a guy. Yeah. We didn't say it the proper way. We said kitty like cat, kitty combate, you know. I was like, I can't go toe-to-toe with these guys. What's wrong with me? But, you know, I admire men. I really do. Who can get in there and scramble it up with somebody and lead a soul to Jesus Christ. That impresses me. And I've thought at times I'm inferior to them because I don't witness that way until I realized they are never going to sit still as long as I have to sit still to see that soul come to Christ. And so you need a sniper and you need an infantryman. And when they work together, more souls get saved. That's a good thing. You know, they have something I don't have and I have something they don't have. And that's okay. It's not one is better than the other. It's that the Holy Spirit uses us in different ways to accomplish the work that He wants to do. And that's the way it is with you. You might be very comfortable teaching kids and be scared to death to teach teens or adults. Well, that's okay because He cut you out to teach who you're teaching. You know, you should be different because God made you that way. God put you in this body as it pleased Him, and the Holy Spirit intends to use you in this body the way He has gifted you and not the way He's gifted someone else. And you know what? That's okay. That's by design. So our only concern then really should be, am I doing what God has put me here to do? No matter, am I filled with the Spirit and being used and willing to be used by Him to accomplish what it is that He wants me to do here? And when I began to get real comfortable with that, I also got comfortable with the idea that I recognize that back door there is somewhat of a revolving door. Many of you have been here a long time. Some of you have been here a little time or a little bit longer, but you won't be here the whole time. And I used to get frustrated about that because you invest in people, you love people, you pray for people, and then all of a sudden one day they're gone. It's like, whoa, what just happened? But what I realized is it is our duty to give you everything God wants you to have while you're here to prepare you for where He wants you to go next. Because you're His, not ours. And give you the opportunity to be used by Him while you're here. And I always love it when you could stay. To do what God cuts you out to do. To give you the opportunity to watch as God use you. And not to be jealous of that or envious of that. But to be thankful for the difference, for the diversity, for the way that He chooses to use us. When we put that together as a body and we work together to accomplish what He wants. You know, the beautiful thing is God gets done through Bible Believers Baptist Church what He wants done. And He gets it done the way He wants it done. And He's pleased. You know, when I think about it that way, that pleases me. I'm happy about that. So I hope it's helped you tonight to recognize the diversity here is intentional. And he intends to use you the way he's made you to be used. And he wants you to be happy about that. I mean, throw in something I can smile about, right? Father, we're very thankful tonight to be instructed out of the words of God. Very thankful for the illustration that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about this body. Very thankful of the way you've chosen to use us. And much, much more appreciative of the diversity and the differences. Because we recognize that's something that you've done. We're very thankful that what you accomplish is not dependent upon our personality, our intellect, our talent. Way more important that it's dependent upon your gift, your provision, your administration and operation. We're very thankful to be included and given the opportunity. Heavenly Father, help us to carry out what you've given us to do to your pleasure. For we ask you to do these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.